We're going to be at Smith Summit on the dates November 2nd to November 9th.
There will be a booth there containing information about Code of Copper and various other data packs we've worked on. And we're also doing a panel about our upcoming data pack preprocessor called Zoglin on Sunday the 3rd. Come check us out. Link in the description. Hello, hello everyone. I'm Gears.
And I'm Mox Phalix. And welcome to the DataPack Podcast. Episode 14, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I never remember. So this episode, we are trying out a new format. This is something we haven't done before. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be designing a data pack, a hypothetical data pack, over the course of this podcast episode. So something that's been on my bucket list for a while in terms of making a data pack is a take on Minecraft's progression. So I personally feel like Minecraft's progression isn't as good and as fun as it could be. I feel like early game doesn't last long enough, and then I feel like late game kind of tapers off. So I've always wanted to address this with a data pack, and I have done actually a progression-based data pack before. I made, for the first data pack jam, I made a data pack called Potatcraft, which changed Minecraft's progression by introducing potatoes into all the recipes. But that was a joke. So in this episode, we're going to be coming up with ideas about a data pack to address issues we have with Minecraft's progression.
Honestly, I think adding potatoes to every recipe is just, that's the solution. I don't know why you even brought me here. You already figured it out.
Years ago. I solved Minecraft.
Yeah. Okay, well, end of episode. See you next time.
That's right.
Yeah. I think Mox Phalix definitely has stronger opinions. You sort of came up with the idea of this in the first place. So I think I don't have that many preconceived ideas of how this would work, but I'm sure I'll be able to come up with something as we get going. But do you want to start us off with some ideas you've had?
Yeah. So my first major concern, I feel like, is that Minecraft's early game progression, I feel like it's far too short. And now what I mean by this is we have the most obvious progression in Minecraft, and the one everyone is familiar with is the tools upgrade, right? So you start with wood and you go to stone, you go to iron, diamond, etc., right? Technically, late game, you've got netherite, but I'm going to ignore netherite for the time being. And just talk about the, stone to diamond transition. And I guess one of my issues I have is I feel like you can heat yourself out with diamonds in the first, 1 to 2 hours of playing the game, and then that kind of progression, the progression of getting your tools, kind of ends there. And obviously you move into the enchantments progression since then, which I have separate issues with. But I would I think it would be cool to elongate the tool progression. I haven't fully thought about how we could do that. Do you have any ideas, Gears? On that.
Yeah, well, it could be interesting potentially to maybe increase the complexity of, I guess, smithing armor or creating armor from iron, from raw iron, because it's pretty simple right now, right? So you've got your you mine the raw iron with the stone pickaxe, you stick it in a furnace with some coal, and then you craft it, and it's pretty simple to do that, right? I think I've mentioned it before, and I don't think played it, but do you know of a mod pack called Terra Firmacraft, or it's actually just a mod, a single mod.
It sounds vaguely familiar. I've never played it or anything. I don't really know what it is.
Yeah, so I found out about it when a YouTuber called Ilmango, who is part of the SciCraft server, did a series on it with some other people as well. But yeah, I was watching his playthrough of it. He was actually playing a mod pack called Auto Terra Firmacraft, which is basically Terra Firmacraft and Create Mod, and a couple other things, I think. But basically, Terra Firmacraft overhauls a lot of the progression system, actually. And it sort of focuses on a lot of realism. So instead of just sticking iron ore in a furnace and waiting 10 seconds for it to cook, you've got to create a whole system with, like, bellows to heat it up and a fire and a crucible, and you melt down the iron, and then you got to pour it into molds and all sorts of things like that. And it creates quite an interesting experience, and it's super cool. I feel like I've never actually played it, but from what I saw from watching that series, it looked really cool, especially because I've always been really interested in how stuff like that works in real life, like how you dig up the ore from the ground and make it into actual usable metal.
Yeah, like refining the metal and then...
Yeah, exactly. Like, or even, maybe there is still some way to get basic armor, right? You can have a sort of crude iron armor, which is just quite weak, but then you can go through a more refining process and you know, you can make, like, steel, for example, right? Steel is similar to iron. It's made from iron, but it's a more complex process, right? You got to add carbon to it, and then you create steel, and that could be stronger. And you could, like, have different layers within the single material of how strong a certain piece of armor is, potentially.
Yeah. Right, yeah. So we could add, like sub-tiers of armor, almost. So, like, iron could have stages. Yeah, no, that's interesting. In terms of, like, adding, bellows and, like, molds and everything, I feel like that would be a very complicated data pack mechanic.
Yeah, no, that's not necessarily how it would work in ours. That was just, that's how they do it in Terra Firmacraft. But yeah, I feel like some more complicated... Because I quite like the way that crafting and related processes work in Minecraft, but I think some variation to that could be cool as well. Like, oh, also the way that you smith tools and armor, because once you've got the ingots, you then need to turn them into tools and armor. And another thing which I really liked is that it's sort of a bit of a game. So basically, when you open the whatever it is, I think it's an anvil, right, that you use to shape your iron into tools, you have to... There's basically a little slider, and you start somewhere, and the target is somewhere else on the slider. And there's a series of buttons which represent sort of different ways of hitting the piece with the hammer and, like, shaping it. And you basically have... And each one of those moves it either to the left or right along the slider, and you have to get it to exactly where the target is in, like, as few as possible, and depending on how well you do that, it counts as being, it can have, like, some buffs, meaning it's smithed better or whatever.
Oh, that's cool.
And that was also a really cool thing.
So it's like a little mini game to making the armor piece. Yeah, that's actually, I like that idea. That's quite a cool, I'm not sure how we would, like, represent that in a data pack. You might need to make a custom GUI for it or something, but
that is also
a cool mechanic. I do like that idea.
Yeah. We obviously wouldn't want to steal the mechanics directly from Terra Firmacraft, but taking some inspiration from it, definitely.
Yeah, but like, I like the idea of a mini game, like some way of being able to improve the armor with skill is a cool concept.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna, I want to drop something else, another opinion I've got. I personally think that Minecraft's combat is geared around Iron Tier. I feel like at Iron Tier, the game is the most fun encountering mobs, because I feel like they pose enough of a risk that, like, you know, they're scary to encounter, but at the same time, they're not, like, one-shotting you, right? They're not they're not killing you too easily, but they're, you know, you're not completely vulnerable, but at the same time, you're not completely invulnerable as well, which I would say I have an issue with very late game is you're pretty much invulnerable to most enemies you encounter. Like, full
except
netherite.
For stuff like the Warden.
Except for the Warden, yeah.
At that point.
But even then, like, the Warden is such a rare mob to encounter, and
yeah,
you can just fly away from it.
The only time you'd fight a Warden is really if you just wanted to take on the challenge.
Yeah.
That's one thing, you know, like, I know they intentionally designed the Warden so it drops almost nothing because they didn't want to make it so that players had to fight it, but also at the same time, that felt like it just meant players would never fight the Warden unless they really wanted to.
Yeah. Well,
and I don't know.
From what I've heard, that there's like an internal policy at Mojang where they don't want to introduce any new mobs that you're supposed to kill. They're trying to, like, move away from killing.
Yeah.
Which I get. It's like, you know, kids game. Don't want...
Yeah.
Don't want to have too much killing. But at the same time, it's like, it's kind of boring. Like, I'll say criticism with the creaking, like the fact that you can't kill it, it's kind of like, okay, there's maybe some cool redstone implications, and it's kind of like, it's got a little bit of a gimmick, but I feel like it's going to be completely forgotten in, like, a release or two. Like, people are just not going to interact with it, really, because there's nothing interesting to do with it.
Yeah, and it's not really dangerous either.
Yeah.
Especially in multiplayer, like, if you've been watching, I've just been watching the first few episodes of the newest Life series that's come out.
Yeah.
And in multiplayer, if you have one person looking at the creaking, it won't move, so you can have one person look at it, and then the other person just go and get its heart, and you can't, literally can't do anything to you.
Yeah.
So it's not really a threat at all either.
Mm. And I feel like it deals, like, it doesn't deal that much damage. I think from what I was seeing in those videos, it was like 2 to 3 hearts of damage.
Yeah.
It's just a little, I don't know, mid, I suppose, is the criticism I'd have there. Yeah, I feel like that's another issue, is that, yeah, mob scaling doesn't really work. Like, mobs are at iron level, and I feel like after iron level, it kind of gets less fun, almost.
I mean, once you've got prop for diamond or netherite, you pretty much aren't in danger in the overworld unless you get into a really sticky situation.
Yeah.
I mean... Yeah. So I think another interesting thing that could be part of, that could make progression more interesting, would be to have some sort of choice so that not everyone ends up with the same result, you know? So pretty much it's not really debated that, you know, the best equipment you can have is Sharp 5 diamond sword with unbreaking amending, efficiency 5 diamond pickaxe with, or netherite, whatever, fortune, and then have one with silk touch, and then armor with protection and thorns, and basically you just get all the enchantments on it, and then everyone ends up with the same thing.
Yeah.
But I feel like it would be so much more interesting if you had to make a choice, like, you know how there's Smite, which does extra damage to undead mobs, and there's Bane of Arthropods, which is completely useless, and does extra damage to stuff like spiders and silverfish, which, yeah, again, nobody's ever going to pick that. A few people do prefer Smite over Sharpness, but that's pretty rare.
Mm.
But what if there was no, Well, what if there were more of those, right? So what if there was one which does extra damage when it's nighttime, say? Or one that does extra damage when you're underwater, or things like that that, like, add an extra thing, and you're like, okay, which one do I want in my sword? Which one is most useful to me? Or, I mean, I think that is starting to get in more into, like, an RPG vibe, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know if Minecraft really should go down that route. I have been playing some, like, RPG games recently. I really like that aspect of having sort of two things which are good in different situations, and you got to choose which one fits you best.
Yeah.
Which one serves you best.
Actually, I think this is a good segue into an idea for enchantments that I've been thinking about in terms of progression. And I mean, we're talking about, the first thing I'll say, we're talking about a hypothetical data pack here. So it's less about what Minecraft should do and more about, like, what we think would make a cool progression for us, right? Like, obviously, Minecraft has to contend with the concept of vanilla, right? And now, obviously, we should probably try and make our hypothetical data pack vanilla-esque, you know? Because we're aiming to be a replacement to Minecraft's progression. But, you know, Minecraft's got, like, what, how many years now? 12, 13 years of existence?
15 now, right?
15 years, yeah. Yeah, that's right. And it's like, there's a lot of long-term players that will complain if they change anything minor about it, right? They're in a bit of a sticky spot with making changes, but we don't have those limitations, right? We can we can make decisions that were, like, we can make decisions that aren't decisions Notch made back in 2012. some questionable decisions. And one thing I have as a criticism of enchantments is that any enchantment at a lower level than the max level is completely irrelevant. Like, playing Minecraft, no one cares about sharpness 4, sharpness 3, sharpness 2, sharpness 1, right? People care about sharpness 5. People care about efficiency 5, right? People care about only the max level enchants. And, I mean, one of the reasons for this, obviously, villagers. You know, you can roll them, you can just grind for hours, roll all the max level enchants, and then you have infinite of those enchants, right? And the
raw... Which, ironically, if you're watching on video right now, that's exactly what we're doing.
Yeah. We've got villager rolling in the background. Really interesting stuff. enjoy. But it's so tedious. And, like, but you do it because the reward is, you know, unlimited free enchantments at max level. It's like, there's a major, major incentive for players to do villager rolling. And I guess as well, it's because, like, the enchanting table kind of sucks. Like, you don't get that much control with the enchanting table, and you often end up with very disappointing results. And so people do the villager route, and it sucks as well, but at least it's reliable, right? And I think what the change I would make is I would have level of enchantment not be tied to the enchantment itself, but rather the tier of the item it's being put on. So, and then, like, you could tie that into the progression of the items, right? So in iron has maybe sharpness 3, right? And so when you put sharpness on it, it's at sharpness at a level of 3, right? But then when you put sharpness on a diamond, it's maybe sharpness at a level of 4, and sharpness on a netherite, sharpness on a level of 5, right? So it's like, there's only one enchantment per level of item, I would say, could be a interesting way of doing it, right? Another option, which you got me thinking about, talking about, like, mutually exclusives, right? What if maybe you could have, maybe certain enchantments, like, you could put sharpness 3 with this enchantment, but you couldn't put sharpness 5 with it, right? So what if, now I don't know how possible this is with the enchantment system as it is currently. You might have to make individual enchantments for the different levels to do the mutually exclusives like that. But what if, for example, like, yeah, what if Sweeping Edge, right, which is useful in mob farms or something, or like can be useful for dealing with a lot of mobs, what if Sweeping Edge wasn't compatible with Sharpness 5, but was compatible with Sharpness 3, or something like that, right? So you had to, you could choose to have a more variety of enchantments, but without the max suns, or you could choose to lower your variety and specialize, kind of thing, right?
Yeah, what if there was like some sort of budget? You can have like 12 total enchantment levels, and then either you can pick Sharpness 5 and something else 5 and something else 2, or you can pick 4 different things at the 3 level or stuff like that. That could be interesting as well.
Yeah, I like that. And what if, like, then instead of the tiers allowing certain levels, the tiers had an enchantment level budget, right?
Yeah, or like, yeah, a cost, basically. And then once you go over the cost, would that be implementable with a data pack? How would that work?
You would have to replace the anvil, I think. You would have to essentially...
Yeah.
That's the thing, is that currently anvils are hard-coded, which is a little annoying. It would be nice if we could customize anvil recipes, which I don't think we can. Yeah. I don't know how implementable that one would be. That's tricky with the data pack, but would be very cool.
Yeah.
I mean, we could theoretically cool just too. Have it, like, run a validation function, and basically if it goes over, it just, you know, modifies the item, which is less optimal, but works, I guess.
Yeah, I think the idea before about changing the strength of the enchantment as per the tier of the item, I think that would definitely be implementable using custom enchantments, right?
Mm.
You should just be able to detect the tier of tool that's enchanted, I think.
Yeah, I don't know if, like, how the mutually exclusive system works. I think it just works on enchantment ID, so you might have to end up with different, like, IDs for different levels of the enchantment, so Sharpness 5 being its own enchantment.
Yeah, I think that might be how you'd have to make it work.
And then they just all have a level of 1. It would be a bit jank, but then again, you know, it's a data pack we're talking about. Of course it's going to be jank.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that could be a cool system. I mean, obviously, like, the most vanilla or the most data pack friendly one is just tying it to tier of item, because you can very easily do that. Very easily say this isn't allowed on this particular item, but it is allowed on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Although I feel like that's, I guess, less interesting. But as well, I feel like maybe even limiting some enchantments, like maybe make some enchantments not be allowed on more early game tools, right? For example, you can, I don't know, there's sometimes you want to be able to get Silk Touch or something early game, right? What if the only couple of enchantments that could go on a stone pickaxe or a iron pickaxe was like Silk Touch and Fortune? So so that you're more likely to roll it. I mean, there's not that many pickaxe enchantments, is there?
There's basically Efficiency, Fortune, Silk Touch, and then the shared ones, Unbreaking and Mending. I think that's it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Actually, that's another thing, right? Because Unbreaking and, well, Mending doesn't come from the enchantment table, because it's considered a treasure enchantment, right? But villagers can sell mending books. So it's just another reason to go down the villager route, right? Because you're once again encouraged to use villagers because they sell mending.
The only other way to get mending really is fishing. And that's not really fishing, very efficient.
Or you can find it in end loot tables, but...
But those aren't really renewable, are they?
No. Another thing I noticed, like, Minecraft was looking at, a villager overhaul, and there's an experimental data pack
true, weren't they?
To doing it. And I think, I have a lot of praise for that, because they split out the different enchantments that the villagers would grant into different biomes. So then if you're seeking a mending book, for example, you can just breed a villager in the swamp biome or whatever, and then you're much more, like, there's a much smaller pool it's going to roll from, and that, like, includes mending.
Yeah, so I think the way they did it is, I think they took the strongest enchantments, and they made it, may have even been guaranteed on the last level of villages, depending on which biome they come from. So yeah, basically, if you got a swamp villager, which obviously swamp villagers, you'd have to explicitly go there and breed it, so that would make it harder to get mending. But if you got some villagers to a swamp, bred them there, got a swamp villager, turned it into a librarian, leveled it up, you'd basically be guaranteed mending, and that would be the only way you could get reliable mending, really. And yeah, so that gives you a bit more of like an adventure rather than a grind, which is just basically breaking and placing the lectern continuously until they give you a good trade.
Yeah.
Which is definitely more interesting.
Yeah, I much prefer that, because it means you can target, right, the enchantment that you want, right, and you just have to go out in the world and find that biome, right, which is usually not too difficult to find a swamp or a jungle or whatever. I hope mending's not tied to a jungle, because jungles are actually difficult to find sometimes.
No, I remember it was definitely swamp.
Yeah, okay, cool. It's
definitely swamp mending.
Swamps are a lot more common, I feel like, than jungles.
They're still kind of rare, I think.
Yeah, they definitely are. But
certainly the lack of villagers in swamps made it a bit more of a challenge.
Yeah, because you got to go and breed.
I never really
there.
Played survival on that data pack. It could be cool to explore that a bit.
That would be worth a try, I reckon. Could be interesting.
Maybe we could add it to our podcast server for next time or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that might be a good idea. Another idea I had with villages, like an alternate way of doing this, I do quite like the biome method, but another way you could have it where the villager kind of rolls three options and then allows you to pick one. So like every time it upgrades, it introduces like three new trades, and then once you do a trade with that one, it removes the other two. I feel like that could be implemented with a data pack, and could be just a cool way of like customizing the villager a little bit more. So it's like each trade it actually unlocks a set of trades, and then you pick which ones are the best, kind of thing. And another idea I also just had, sorry, I'm just spit firing villager ideas, is what if there was a way to, reduce the price of a trade? Like, I feel like another thing you're constantly rolling for with villagers is the price. You want the optimum price, right? But what if you could just roll the enchantment you wanted and then spend a resource to whittle the price down to its minimum? That could be interesting.
I mean, right now, the meta is just zombify them and cure them
multiple times.
But like, which is also just kind of increasing the sort of grind that you need to do.
Yeah.
I think in the trade rebalance experiment, what they did is they made it so that they'll only give you a discount for saving them from a zombie once, and then after that, it's just stuck at, like, whatever it is, half off or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, some other way to decrease it could be interesting. One other thing I was thinking is, what if there was some other item or ingredient you could use to, I don't know if this would be with a villager or with an enchanting table, but to sort of either increase the probability or make it guaranteed that a certain enchantment gets rolled.
Ooh.
Like, say there was, I mean, this wouldn't be possible in a data pack, but say there was a third slot in an enchanting table. And if you put, like, I don't know what it would be, like,
a diamond,
I don't know,
or something.
Yeah, if you put a diamond in, then it's more likely to be unbreaking, or it's guaranteed to give you unbreaking 3 or something like that. And then that will give you an extra way of getting reliable enchantments.
Yeah, that could be interesting, yeah. Unfortunately, yeah, that's a
but
lot.
obviously you couldn't add a slot to the crafting or to the enchantment table guri, because that's not
yeah the enchantment table is also not very customizable.
No. But well, I don't know, somehow yeah.
Another idea is,
I was
maybe
say adding an ingredient to the book trade for a villager, but you can only have two ingredients for that, and books already use up both of those, so that wouldn't really work either.
Yeah. I think, like, going back to the issue with, like, enchantment levels, I feel like it's really got to be solved how to, like, resolve lower level enchantments, right? Because I feel like they're almost useless. Right, and we obviously were talking about before, like, having certain other enchantments incompatible with higher levels but compatible with lower levels, or, like, a level budget. But in other ways, we could just almost fully remove low-level enchants and just be like, there's efficiency and it's just one level. And there's, you know, and it just, efficiency at one level is efficiency 5. Or there's, you know, just unbreaking, you know, just remove the level entirely and then maybe make enchantments harder to get or something.
Yeah.
So then it's less about rolling or trying to find the highest level enchantment. It's more just about trying to find the enchantment itself.
Or alternatively, we could do it sort of the other way around, where instead of removing lower levels, we just make it so that you can only get lower levels, and so to get efficiency 5, you've got to combine efficiency 1 books to get efficiency 2, and then efficiency 2 books to get efficiency 3.
Yeah.
And basically work your way up, and sort of as you progress, you're like, okay, I'm currently on efficiency 3, and I'm breaking 1, and then, oh, look, I found an unbreaking book. Okay, now I can get unbreaking 2, and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it should be possible, right, with a data pack to keep resetting the anvil cost, right? Because that's like a weird design decision of the game, is to have this anvil cost.
Yeah, that's one thing that's really annoying. That yeah, you couldn't do that currently because, yeah, you basically, once you've put enough enchantments on, it both gets really expensive, and also if it gets beyond a certain point, it just says too expensive and it's impossible to do, which is really stupid.
Yeah.
I forget, did they actually remove that in the experiment or not? I feel like people were saying, because they were doing some, in the experiment, they were doing something which sort of meant you would have to end up combining books in more steps. And then people were saying, if you want to do that, you have to remove the anvil cost. But I don't remember if they actually did that, or if that was just people, or was that just something the community was saying that should be done.
Yeah, I don't remember them saying that they were going to... Well, I don't remember reading about it being removed, but it might have been and I missed it. That's very possible. But yeah, it should be very possible with a data pack to just, after an anvil use, just reset that value in the item, right?
Yeah, because is there a scoreboard trigger for using anvil or an advancement?
I think there's a scoreboard trigger. I don't know about advancement. Like, does it count as crafting? I don't think it does. I don't think there's an advancement related to it, because I don't think there's any in-game advancements related to using an anvil, is there? I don't think
so. No, the only time anvil is mentioned on the wiki page for advancements is saying that it doesn't trigger enchanting an item.
Right. But I would I think there's a scoreboard. Do you want to have a look on the Criterion page? I reckon there is a scoreboard. I mean, it wouldn't be too expensive to just check once the player has a value in that and replace the item in their hand. Or actually, you would have to kind of search the inventory because it could be anywhere.
Interaction with anvil isn't the same. Apparently, there's only interactions with anvil and not.
Okay, that's really annoying. You know, it's still possible, but yeah, that makes things a lot more annoying. I mean, you could technically be checking when the player is looking at an anvil and then constantly scanning the inventory, but that would be expensive. Or you have a resource that you can expend to clear the anvil.
That can make it work.
Cost. So have a way to
do some process
to like fix the item, I guess, or like polish. Yeah, probably like a polish item or something, and then it would reset its anvil cost. Which, yeah, I actually really like your idea of constantly upgrading the enchantments rather than finding higher level enchantments. And I really wish...
Yeah, I feel like that would give a use to the lower levels, at least.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, so because like you find that enchantment and then it's like, it's not just all lost, I guess.
Yeah. And also, due to how enchantments work, it also means that each level is progressively harder to get, right? Because obviously, level 1, you just need one book. Level 2, you need 2. Level 3, you need 4. By the time you get to level 5, you need 16 enchanted books combined together. And so that's like a thing you could accumulate over time.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. We'd have to find some way that you don't just do that all with villagers.
Yeah.
I wish you could change the loot tables for villagers, or like how the villager trades are decided, because pretty sure they're just hard-coded in the game code, right? You can't change them with data packs at all, except manually editing individual villager MBT.
Actually, I'm pretty sure with the villager experiment, they added like ways to customize the villagers, right?
Oh, did they?
I'm pretty sure that was part of that. I didn't fully look into it. I should probably look into it more. But I'm pretty sure they had some method of customizing the villagers. But yeah, the current way to do it is, yeah, data modifying the villagers, which is sucky. And I might be completely wrong on the experiment. We'll have to look into that. Okay, so that's tools and enchantments. Now, I feel like, as well, another thing that I personally really enjoy, like, one of my favourite things to do in Minecraft is the caving. I think since 1.18, caving has been really fun, and, like, I really enjoy doing it, like, just going mining, right? But I feel like, late into the game, there's no really resource you need to go mining for outside of diamonds, right? It's like the only resource that is worth caving for. And I personally find that a bit disappointing.
Yeah.
I kind of wish maybe, I don't know, like, for example, like gold, you can make a gold farm. Iron, you can make an iron farm, right? Emeralds.
Diamonds you don't really need because you can buy them from villagers.
Yeah, you can buy all of the armors and tools from villagers and just grind the enchantments off and then replace them. It's like caving, like mining in Minecraft almost comes completely obsolete, which is kind of crazy because, you know, it's like half of the game. And it's such a weird progression to me that it's like you can just bypass caving, I guess. I think encouraging players to go caving more would be good. I don't know if that means patching out iron farms, which is I kind of like iron farms, or maybe patching out gold farm, like. I don't know. Gold's not very useful. That's the only other problem.
Yeah, gold farms, well, they're often used for experience. They often give quite a lot of experience.
Yeah.
But yeah, what is gold actually used for? I guess
powered
rails. Piglin bartering farms sometimes, powered rails. But yeah, not a whole lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think some late game mining could, like, incentive to go mining could be interesting.
I feel like mining is such a fun part of the game, and it's really just gets, I don't know, shunted, I guess, once you Like, I feel like I have the most fun in Minecraft when I'm in full iron gear and full iron tool set down in a cave trying to find my diamonds, right?
Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
And I kind of wish that that part of the game could kind of exist for longer, you know? I kind of wish that, you know, maybe diamond tools use diamond blocks instead of diamonds, or something like something stupid like that, just to keep you going longer.
Yeah.
Or just make it that you can't upgrade your tools until a certain point. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because once you've got your diamond armor, once you've defeated the Ender Dragon, pretty much all there is to do is, like, build and make farms. Like,
yeah.
There's not a whole lot, and, like, explore, I guess, but, like, yeah, there's really not a lot of progression after that point, which I guess part of that reason is because it's a sandbox game, right?
So, yeah.
You know, but, yeah, I feel like some more progression could be cool, like, in the late game. One thing that just brought to mind, like, when you said upgrading after a certain point, is in Terraria, which I used to play before I got into Minecraft, there is a certain boss. I mean, Terraria has a much more sort of guided progression system than Minecraft has, obviously.
Yeah.
And there are a lot more sort of bosses that you have to fight to get to the next thing. But there's basically one boss which you fight at one point, and once after you defeat that boss, your game essentially goes into hard mode, and what that means is new sets of mobs start to appear, which are much more challenging and powerful than before, and even new kinds of ores generate in your world, so you can then upgrade your weapons and armor further and stuff like that, so that it actually changes the way that what kind of things generate and what kind of mobs spawn from that point on.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting. So yeah, you could have like a catalyst between certain stages of the game's progression.
Yeah. Have something locked until a certain point.
Yeah. I mean, as for, like, replacing ores in the world and stuff, that's, like, not very possible, I feel like.
Not really, not with a data pack.
But you could make certain things, like, unobtainable until a certain point. Like, maybe Silk Touch or something is locked out or something, and then make some things need Silk Touch.
Mm-hmm.
Which that could be interesting.
Yeah, that could be cool.
Like, imagine if you had to... If you couldn't mine diamonds until you had a certain enchantment on your pickaxe or something like that. And so, I mean, you could break the diamond block, but it doesn't drop anything until you have diamond touch or some stupid enchantment.
Yeah.
And then, like...
Yeah, and you make that unobtainable until you have something.
Mm.
How would you make an enchantment unobtainable until something's happened? I'm not sure how that would work, actually.
Well, you would have to make it, like, something drops the enchantment.
Oh, yeah, I guess you'd have to make it not obtainable by...
Yeah. By you wouldn't put it in the enchantment table or in villages.
Enchantment table, yeah. Yeah, you'd have to have some way of getting it. Yeah, and also having... Yeah, I think, like, having a finite... Oh, that is a good point, actually. Which enchantments are... The enchantments that villagers can stock, I think, are controlled by an enchantment tag now, aren't they?
I think so, right? Yeah.
So we could theoretically, if we wanted to just completely erase enchantments from villagers, just say, yeah, no, you can't get enchantments from villagers, that tag is empty.
Ooh, that could be a good one.
Or like, limit it to, so you can't get stuff, certain things, like, I don't know. Maybe you could just get some of the less important enchantments and have some of the more important ones obtainable via a specific process
that
we, like, explicitly add. So, like, to get sharpness, you've got to... I don't know.
It's hard to, like, add bosses and stuff. Like, bosses are so hard to add to data packs.
Yeah.
And it's not really our style of data pack either, I feel like.
No, I don't think I'd have a good time trying to design a boss.
I have a lot of respect for, like, boss developers with data packs because it is such a tedious process. And you've got to, like, be managing all these entities and you've got to, like, design it all in Blockbench, animate it all.
Yeah.
You've got to come up with all different waves. You've got to actually have unique things that aren't just applying potion effects. It's like...
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
To make a good boss in a data pack is really hard. And, yeah, it's a lot of work.
I suck at that sort of thing, like, really polishing a specific aspect. I really don't like that thing. I really just like... Yeah, I'm not good at that. I looked up the villager trade rebalance, and there's a table. You can show it on screen now in the video. But, yeah, basically, they had a lot of the lower-level enchantments. Basically, they're still villager... like biome specific, so there's sort of three normal enchantments that each villager can randomly get, and then there's a special one which are like the most powerful ones: sharpness, protection, efficiency, fortune, unbreaking, silk touch, mending. Those ones are guaranteed at the master level, but yeah, they're not the highest level. Like, you can get sharpness 3 or unbreaking 2. So I think that's why people were saying, yeah, you can't give us that and still have the anvil cost, because that would just won't work. And I don't remember if they actually ended up fixing that or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, obviously the villager trade rebalance is still experimental, and you know, there was that that snapshot a few weeks ago, or a couple months ago now, even, where they added a bunch of experiments and they updated the bundle one, which obviously the bundle is now no longer experimental and it's in the game.
Yeah.
But did they do anything with the villager trade rebalance? I don't remember.
Was that when they added the villager trade rebalance?
No. They added the villager trade rebalance last year, like over a year ago.
Oh, when
ago
they
now.
Did the enchantment stuff. Was it that time?
I think it was even before then, if I remember correctly.
I don't remember them updating it. No, not really.
Yeah, this was the first snapshot for 1.20.2 was Villager Trade Rebalance.
Right.
So a long time ago now.
Yeah. I wish they, you know, went more into that. Because it is a major part of the game, I feel like, that needs work.
Yeah, I think, again, they might have been a bit sort of hesitant to do it, because people get angry about, you know, oh, now I can't get enchantments easily anymore and whatever.
But it's not easy, it's tedious, it's not fun.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Current villager trading is completely unfun. I'm sorry.
It's just mindless.
It's so mindless.
It's just mindless grinding, isn't it? Yeah.
And, like, I get some people, maybe you like sitting there for hours grinding the villagers. Like, I guess it can be good if you've got, like, a podcast on or something. It's a menial task, but it's like, you can't call it gameplay. It's because it's not.
Yeah.
It's a grind, and I don't like it. But yeah, honestly, I think they should remove the anvil cost just completely. It's a broken system. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work. It's never made sense. Like, no one, only really technical people actually understand how it works. It's like, there are websites dedicated to enchantment order just so you know how to enchant something. Which is wild.
Yeah, you gotta, like, enchant it. Like, yeah, you can save a lot of... Also, yeah, you know, it's weird how, like, when you put two books in, if you swap them around, you can sometimes get the cost to decrease, or sometimes it will increase, obviously, if you had them the most optimal way the first time. But it's just so weird how it works.
It's a nonsense system, and it's not fun, and it's completely broken, and it just means that lower-level enchantments are useless. And, it has to be scrapped. I'm sorry. Like, there's no redeeming qualities to that system. And already the XP system is already a joke. So it's not like improving, like, upping the cost on that.
Yeah,
is
that's
fixing
what
anything.
I was gonna say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think experience needs to be revamped as well.
Mm.
The only thing is, a lot of these aren't things we can change in a data pack. That's the problem.
Well,
like,
XP, well, you can, I guess, kind of. We could overhaul XP.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because we can change XP, we can read XP, we can, you know, it is technically a variable. Like
the calculation system for how much XP a certain enchantment combination costs, we can't really change that with a data pack, can we?
Yeah.
Unless we just went like full the anvil, we're just scrapping the anvil and we're creating our own system.
We could.
And that would get rid of a lot of things, like that would let us do a lot of things we were thinking about, like having a certain cost. We're like, okay, yeah, we can just block that because we implement all the logic for it.
Yeah, completely replacing
that could be cool as well.
That could be very cool.
But it would be a lot of work.
It would.
But
be
I mean, this is all about a theoretical data pack, not necessarily one that we're ever going to implement. Though I am kind of excited to potentially implement this now that we've been talking about it.
It would be quite cool, honestly. And, I mean, it's not like custom blocks are unheard of. We definitely could implement a replacement anvil. And it's a pretty simple UI to re-implement.
It is. I mean, I mean, people have made custom crafting tables before you were allowed to do component crafting.
Yeah.
I just about managed to make one of those at one point. Even though it's been so long since I did that. But yeah, it shouldn't be too difficult, I don't think.
Yeah, I built a custom crafter using command blocks back in my day. I also did a lot of floor crafting because that was a lot easier to implement.
Floor crafting's so much easier.
It's so easy.
It's so much cooler to have a custom crafting table.
Oh, 100%.
Which is why I spent about 4 months on it.
Yeah. My custom crafting table required you to stand on top of the dropper. So that's how it worked. So you put the items in, then you stood on top of it, and then
craft.
It wasn't a great system. It was a copy of someone else's system as well, but obviously changed to add my custom item. I believe
my custom crafting table.
Yeah,
was like a full thing. It was like it looked like the crafting GUI basically.
Right.
And it was like, it had the slots and then the output, and it could handle like crafting multiple at a time and all sorts of things. It was
that's cool.
Kind of crazy. But yeah, it was a lot of work. And I did definitely like, I had another person's crafter. I had like the code of it, and I was sort of if there was a bit like I wasn't sure how to do it, I was like, okay, how did they do it? And then I like took some inspiration from that, and then I continued trying to figure it out myself and stuff. But
I mean, that's pretty much how I learned how to make data packs. Is I just downloaded someone else's data pack and looked at it and worked it out from there. Oh god.
Yeah.
Have I ever, I don't think I've ever talked about my first data pack on this podcast, but I think I'll leave that for another time.
What, Melody Blocks?
Melody Blocks, yeah. Maybe I have.
I think you mentioned it briefly one episode. I don't remember what it was.
Maybe the first episode.
No. It was maybe Data Pack Hacks or something like that. I don't remember.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure I just copied, like, I just used someone else's as a base and just swapped the files out because I didn't really understand the file structure time.
Or no, maybe it was premature optimization. Maybe you talked about it when you were talking about V255.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was my second release data pack.
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, technically, Redstone Interactions was my second, which I tried to make a Redstone library.
I'm not sure I've ever seen that one.
No, you haven't?
I've seen Melody Blocks.
It's tied to...
You told me about V255, but...
It's tied to Melody Blocks. It's how Melody Blocks work getting powered and stuff. It was like a library to work with blocks getting a powered state and stuff.
That's kind of cool.
It was kind of cool. It was janky, and it's really hard to work with Redstone from commands. It might be worth me taking a crack at it again now that I know more about
Data Packs. I've thought about that before, and I've never tried that because I'm like, that's going to be tricky.
Yeah.
But yeah. So okay, let's get a bit back on track.
Yeah.
Another thing I think is a cool thing that doesn't really get used that much is potions. I feel like it's pretty rare that you're going to brew a potion and use a potion in single player, at least. Like, I know they're often used in, like, multiplayer for manhunts, say, or PvP or things like that, you know, when you're fighting other players and that little extra strength or speed or something will give you the edge.
Yeah.
But in single player, when you're playing against mobs, when you're doing PvE, right?
Yeah.
When do you use a potion? Like, very rarely, I feel like.
I think my most used potion would probably be, like, fire resistance. Just for going to the nether.
Fire resistance. Some people use night vision. I personally just play in Fulbright quite a lot, so I don't use that.
Yeah.
Which is
client for the win.
Yeah, it's kind of hack, but
if you're listening to the podcast, check out Asteroid on Modrinth. You know, it's a hack client, but not cheating. So, just a shill. Link in description.
Yeah.
Yeah. What were we talking about?
Potions.
Potions. Yeah. How would you encourage players to use them more? I feel like brewing is a bit obtuse. I feel like that's the problem, is it's such a weird, complicated system. And it's another one of those things where you got to have, like, the wiki open and, like, be looking at the chart.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to remember all the combinations. What I will say, though...
if you could create...
Yeah?
...a brewing system...
Mm.
...where, rather than there being, like, a fixed set of things, you could sort of... And this would be pretty tricky to implement in a data pack or even otherwise.
Yeah.
But, like, various... I don't know. You could, like, add ingredients and they would each do slightly different things and you could create, like, a combination of ingredients and a combination of effects and something.
Mm. I've always had ideas for, like, that kind of thing, but, like, for spell systems. But I reckon it could work for brewing as well, where basically each ingredient has a set of attributes and basically, or like, has a almost like a number assigned, right? And when you combine all the different ingredients, the number creates like a hash of all the numbers that are combined. And then based on that hash, it's like a random seed for the outcome. So it's like...
Yeah, so that like...
So it's predictable every time it will do the same thing, right? But it's still, like, randomized, I guess.
Almost. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that could be cool.
But then...
And you got to sort of figure out the different combinations and see what happens.
Yeah, but then you could have, like, certain ingredients maybe change elements of the hash or something. Like, it's... This impacts the first two digits. This impacts, like, you know, something like that. Or, like, maybe there's, like, two or three hashes that they all impact. And then... You can learn this, does this kind of thing, and you can try and, you can, like, you end up with, like, millions of possibilities almost, but you can kind of learn certain things impact it in this certain direction, certain things impact in this certain direction. I don't know if that would be better than the current brewing system. That might just be way more confusing. Because it's kind of like, well, actually, it could be fun. I'm assuming you've watched the second episode of the, what life are we on?
Yeah,
Wildlife?
Yeah. Wildlife, yeah.
So yeah, spoilers.
Spoiler alert if you haven't watched it yet. You should go check it out.
Brian always comes up with a very cool, new premise for each life series.
That second episode was so fun.
Yeah.
I loved it so much.
And like, the cool... Okay, so for anyone that's still watching should probably do this properly. Timestamp to skip the spoilers on screen now. And for anyone still sticking around, the second episode's gimmick is that all of the players...
By the way, sorry if you're listening audio only, because you don't get a timestamp.
If you're audio only, just skip, like, 2 minutes ahead. Sorry about that.
We'll just watch the thing.
Or just
watch the video and come back.
Watch a wildlife and come back, yeah. So the gimmick for the second episode is that all of the players have hunger, right? So they're constantly losing hunger, and but every item is edible, but the effects of the items are randomized. So you could, like, eat a block of dirt and it might levitate you, or you could eat seeds and it might give you resistance. And so they're constantly trying to figure out which block is going to actually be a food, right, to restore hunger points. And because it's all random, like, they're getting wild effects. Like, you, players are, like, floating off into the void, into the ether, and then falling out of the sky. And all funny things like that, or getting nausea. And so it's this, like...
Yeah, and you've got to figure out which things are food, and you get all the different... effects in the meantime. Yeah
And that's such a cool concept, because it's like this rush, you're like crafting items, you're like digging things, and it's this fast, frantic rush to figure out what everything is. But it's also like each time you're doing it, it's like a little bit of a gamble, because like it could be something really bad. You could like get like, I mean, I didn't see wither amongst the effect, but you could get poison. And
yeah,
then like
poison, yeah,
and it's like you get poison, and if you're starving, then one tick later you're dead, right? And like, so, yeah, it's like this, it's a really interesting episode, like a really interesting concept, and I quite enjoyed that wild card. And yeah. I feel like the potion system we're describing there could be similar to that almost, where it's like you're experimenting more.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the current system doesn't lend itself to experimentation.
Yeah.
Because it's like... most of them follow a pattern, and I feel like almost just removing the awkward potion step would improve the feel of it a lot.
Yeah,
you know, like improve the flow. But I don't know.
Yeah, one thing that could be interesting is that, like, yeah, as you said, there could be like some sort of random thing, and also maybe one thing I've seen before in a game I played once is that you can. It was sort of like an RPG game, right? And when you played, you could get all these different potions. But you didn't know what the potion did. It would just be like random.
Ah.
It would just be like a random name, and each time the random name would basically be randomized and did different things.
Yeah.
And then you had to identify it somehow, either by drinking it, or there were other certain ways in the game that you could identify it. And then you would forever know from then on, oh, okay, this is what this potion is.
Yeah.
And it would, like, show it to you and stuff.
That
so
reminds
it could be an
me...
interesting thing like that.
Yeah, there's a game I played like that called Shattered Pixel Dungeon that does that.
That's the game.
That's the game, okay.
That is the game.
So yeah. You've been playing Shattered Pixel Dungeon, I see.
There was a point where I was on a long car journey and I had it downloaded on my... I used to play it a long time ago.
Yeah.
And then I had it downloaded on my phone and it was a long car journey and I got into it and
yeah.
I played it a while and it was fun. And yeah.
Yeah, it's quite a fun game.
I didn't play it that much, really.
I do like that, yeah, the roguelike aspect of that, like... It's unidentified,
yeah.
And then you identify. I think that is quite fun. I think, I don't know, but there's obviously, I saw at the Smith Summit, which is actually upcoming.
Yeah, we should put something at the beginning. I forgot to say it at the beginning, but we should put like a thing at the beginning talking about the Smith Summit.
Yeah, after
hopefully
this podcast,
you already heard that if we didn't forget.
Let's
we'll record it, yeah.
Yeah, we'll
afterwards.
Record a little promo segment. But yeah, one of the data packs I saw was called Roguecraft, and it's basically turning Minecraft into a roguelike. And I imagine they could have something similar there with like randomized potions kind of thing. I don't know if they do, but it would be a cool mechanic.
Yeah.
But yeah, potions really do have a like discoverability problem and like usability, because they are kind of useful, but at the same time there's just enough of a barrier to them that you don't feel like they're actually worth it.
Yeah,
like the things they do are useful, like it can be useful to have jump boost, it can be useful to have speed, it can be useful to have night vision, but it's such a pain to get the ingredients together and actually make the potion. And it's like, and also they don't stack.
Yeah,
just,
I think...
it's just like, it's not worth having them in the inventory.
Yeah, making potions stack would be, would certainly be cool.
Yeah. And I know there's one player I know that really loves potions, Wolfian, who's been mm-hmm. on the podcast before. Always, every world we do has a brewing stand set up and brews a bunch of potions. But I think he might be the only player I've ever seen actually interact with the potion system. Like, everyone else yeah. just mainly ignores it unless they need fire breathing or something. It's like,
yeah.
It's just too painful.
I think again, yeah, I feel like something like strength or resistance, there's not really ever a time in Minecraft where you're in a situation that's challenging enough that means that, like,
yeah,
using a potion would be worth it. Like, it's, I feel like, you know, in some games there are, like, places that, you know, there, you know, you're fighting a boss or something that's really challenging, and if you have the strength and resistance and the speed, you can, like, just about manage to defeat it.
Yeah. I feel as well, like, those kind of games as well, often the items that you collect, you've either bought them at a shop or you've found them around the game, right? And it's like, you haven't explicitly gone and crafted them, you've kind of picked them up
in
your inventory.
Yeah, and you're sort of using what you've got.
So maybe if potions were more, like, found throughout the world, maybe you would encourage players to use them more. Like, maybe dungeon chests could spawn with a regeneration potion or a... Like, I mean, the end has regen, is it, or instant health?
It's instant health, I think, yeah.
Why is it instant health? That's kind of lame. But I feel like, yeah, certain chests could definitely do with a couple potions in their loot table.
Yeah. I feel like instant health potions could be cool if they could stack.
Yeah.
And maybe if they're a bit quicker to drink.
Yeah. Although, we can implement that with a data pack, right?
But yeah, making instant health potions stack, I think, would be make them magnitudes more useful. Because, like, let's say you could carry 6 instant health potions. Like, if you need to regen quickly, instead of waiting for your hunger to go down and then eating food, you just take an instant health potion and you're back up.
Mm.
Or, like, making them stack to, I don't know, 16 maybe.
Yeah.
Or something, just so they're not too overpowered, but...
Or even 8.
Like, that could definitely...
We could introduce the 8 stack. Yeah, yeah, I reckon stackable potions is just... Like, and it's possible with data packs, we could easily change the component, like, when a player holds the potion, it just adds the max stack size component. I don't think we can add that component in the brewing. Can you customize brewing recipes?
No.
No?
Unfortunately not. I wish you could. That would make it so much cooler.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like,
I wish you could customize all recipes.
Yeah.
Brewing's
expecting
the main
that,
one, I think.
I'm expecting that we're going to get brewing at least. Like, I feel like brewing's not even that, wouldn't be that hard to data drive. It's like, it's a recipe-driven system, right? And like, surely it takes an input. And yeah, it's literally a... takes 2 items as an input. There's the bottles, and there's the input item, and then technically there's the fuel, but that's not really part of the recipe.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be cool if you could change that. One thing is that there's no different items, except for, like, splash and lingering potions, but it's all done via components, which I don't know if that would make it easier or harder to do. Probably harder, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, the other thing we could do, like, if we wanted potion effects but didn't want to use the potion system, is we could introduce, like, vials or something, which are, like, smaller versions of potions that are craftable and stackable kind of thing. Like, as part of the data pack. And maybe something like it's a potion plus an extra item in the crafting table, and that turns into, like, a stack of 16 vials or something. And they're, like, the potion effect lasts for, like, you know, 8 seconds instead of 30 seconds or something. But, like, or it's like slightly weaker, but they're stackable and you can just keep using them kind of thing. That could be a cool item. And maybe then would encourage players like to use potions more. Because then it's like, you know, you still brew the potion, but then you combine it with something in it.
And you've got the new crafting transformation recipe now, right? Which basically changes the base item without changing editing components, right?
So we could potentially use that,
I think.
Yeah. Can you also change
that released in 1.21.2, I think must have been.
I think it did, yeah. So yeah, theoretically could use that. That could be cool.
By the way, side note, while we've been recording this, another snapshot has been released.
Oh?
For 1.21.4.
Should we read it out in the podcast or not?
We'll put a link in the description. They're basically unexperimentaling the winter drop, so that's going to come out with the next thing. And they got some...
What's the winter drop?
Creaking.
Oh, the
Pale Garden, stuff like that.
Right.
And they've got some new... Oh, finally, they added /attribute-based reset. Oh. I always wanted that.
Thank you.
It was literally in our wish list.
It's so stupid that we couldn't. We also wanted a game rule reset, though. That was the other thing too. But yeah, attribute reset is good because it's stupid having to remember what the base attribute is.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll be reading that after this recording. I guess before we wrap up, should we quickly talk about maybe some late game improvements? Because we've focused a lot on like early game item progression, villages, enchantments and stuff. But let's say post Ender Dragon, what can there be more to do in the game, I guess?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like if there was some way to scale the game's difficulty with the player's level, like make mobs stronger somehow, or like making something more challenging, that could be interesting. I don't know how that would work, though.
I've thought about, I don't know if I've mentioned it on the podcast before, I think I've only said it in private, but something that could extend, you know, as like, even after the game's beaten, like just extend stuff to do in the world, is you could have a set of like decoration blocks, right? That you have to actively go out into the world to collect. Like, they're not, from the start, they're not fully renewable, right? But then have a system where you can craft a blueprint for that block.
Mm-hmm.
And then they become craftable. So it's like, they're not renewable at the start. You have to go out into the world to find them, but then you can invest a resource into making them renewable. And I think that could be quite cool. I think you can do that with like, it was an idea for a data pack I kind of had of like having most of the game be like that, where like every block, you had to basically unlock recipes as you progressed kind of thing. Because I think there's a game rule where players can't craft things they don't have unlocked, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But obviously that doesn't... Yeah. Like, if you only want a couple blocks, I don't know how you implement that. You would have to have a special crafting system for that.
Yeah, you probably would.
But yeah, that's just another cool idea I had, and then that would, like, I think add longevity to the world. Like, if you wanted to build something, right, you've then got a task. You can go out into the venture into the world, find these blocks, and bring them back, kind of thing. And
yeah, that could be cool as well.
Yeah, I personally, because when I play, I usually have a small group of friends that I play with. And we'll usually have the server running during the week, but we'll have a dedicated day that we play it. And so you can jump on the server during the week if you want to like do some mining or something like that. But then we kind of have on our dedicated time to play, we kind of have a goal. So we will do a bastion, or we will conquer the Ender Dragon, or we will like do some trial chambers, like stuff like that. And I'll have to give some praise to the trial chambers. I really enjoyed that addition, and I kind of wish there was more stuff like that. That's like you can return to it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, like challenging structures that have like an experience in themselves, I think are cool.
And it's like,
yeah.
And as well, like, what I like about the trial chambers, and what I kind of wish that, because there's like a thing, right? Once you've used the trial vault, it like locks itself forever.
Yeah.
I kind of wish that it wouldn't lock itself forever, but maybe would unlock itself maybe after like 5 hours or something, right? Whereas all the like trial spawners reset after half an hour, right? But then the vaults never reset, so you have to keep going and finding more. But I kind of wish there was like a structure you could almost return to. Like, it's almost there. It's just you can't, you know, rerun it really, which is a little bit annoying to me. But yeah, more things like the trial chambers would be cool. And I feel like with data packs, you could make some cool structures that have some like...
Yeah, you certainly could. Although I suck at designing stuff like that, so...
Yeah, that's definitely... We would draw in Wolfian to help with that one if we were to do some of those.
Yeah, and I feel like those, you could certainly make them either scale with the player's gear or make them, like, make certain structures just, like, be more late game. Just say, yeah, like, it's really dangerous, so you shouldn't go in there until you've got diamond armor or whatever, and you've got, like, some enchantments and potions even.
Yeah. Or, like, add some challenging structures to the end that aren't just end cities.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, imagine if we had more end... Like, you know, if we make this data pack, I want to add, like, 3 or 4 interesting structures to the end that provide more late-game challenges. Because, I mean, yeah, the end cities are cool, but I've done them to death. And it's like...
Yeah.
You can only do so much end city before you're like, okay... I get the picture. It's an end city, right?
Yeah, more challenging structures in the end, I think that'd be cool.
Mm. And, like, already, like, the end gates itself off to, like, that is late game, right? And then maybe there's certain structures in the world that, like, you can visit them, but their events don't activate until you have a certain item that you can then give to the altar, which then unlocks... something like that spawns in like a wave of mobs or something. I don't know. That's definitely something I feel like late game could, like, more challenging structures could be, and like more destinations, I guess.
Yeah,
because I feel like
I certainly think, like, if you made a custom structure, you could make it scale based on the player's gear.
Yeah,
as well,
so you could, like, detect that they're wearing, like, full netherite and spawn harder mobs. Yeah, that exactly. could be quite interesting.
Yeah.
So then it's like...
Or you could also do it based on, like, milestones.
Hmm.
Like, if, like, you defeated the Ender Dragon, if you've done certain thing, whatever.
It's funny, I was like, yeah, you could add, like, a structure, like a training room, and then I was like, oh, trial chambers.
yeah.
But it's like, they kind of don't do that, like... I mean, they do have 2 levels of difficulty, but if trial chambers scale to your gear, that would be quite cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be super cool, I think.
I feel like we could even implement that as a data pack. We could, like, scale the trial chamber up based on your gear. Like, just buff mobs around you and stuff. But obviously, it would need more thought than that.
Yeah,
that's probably a good spot to leave it. About the hour 30 mark. Thank you all for listening. I hope you enjoyed this new, more casual format, I guess.
Yeah, I liked it. I definitely enjoyed, like, sort of going through, coming up with ideas. I think we should definitely do more like this in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like Yeah, maybe I didn't have so many previous ideas on this topic. But like, yeah, if we chose a different topic, then maybe I'd have some more thoughts and more inputs. But I think it was fun overall.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for watching.
Goodbye.